from the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, this 12th day of March, 8:06 in the morning. Good morning to you, trusting you are ready for an outstanding weekend. And when we look at the weather forecast, it's chilly this morning, 36 degrees right now. The sun is out, and I'm so excited about that. In fact, today and tomorrow both, we'll see temperatures up in the 60s. Yay! And sunshine, rain possibly on Sunday, and a little cooler with temperature around 49, 50 degrees right in there. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sunshine in the forecast, temperatures in the mid-50s. That is so good to hear, right? Spring around the corner. And talking about spring, do not forget, right? Do not forget this Sunday is Spring Forward Sunday. Yes, we adjust our clocks. And I was talking to someone out and about the other day, and they were like, they keep talking that they're going to like make a legislation that we always stay the same, that we don't move. They talk about it, right? But they never really get around to it, do they? And we need to be getting a lot of our congressmen and women round to it, because they seem like they're either circling back or they're going to get around to it, right? And that's part of the reason why we're here this day, is we want to equip ourselves, empower ourselves, get the information that we need so that we can talk to our elected leaders and influence them in policy. No longer will we put our heads in the sand and pretend like it's all going to go away. We need to be active and engaged. And there's so much going on, my friends, right now. I mean, it is mind-boggling, the amount of information that is out there. And it is interesting, too. On the other hand, last evening I was listening to Mark Levin. And, of course, he always has such great insight, practical solutions, and he looks at things in such a way that we get it, right? And I love that about talk radio. I love the fact that all the folks that we have on our air, and we have the opportunity to broadcast so that you have an opportunity to put it on your day-to-day schedule, they all have practical solutions, and they may talk about the same subject, but they look at it from their own personal background, expertise, and insight with their friends and their connections that they make. And I love that about that. And the other thing that I appreciate about you, our listeners, you're always giving us insight. You're giving us feedback. You're calling in on the show. You're making suggestions and recommendations. And we're really thankful for that. We have some exciting news on Monday. We are launching a new format, and here's how it's going to look. Starting at 6 in the morning, Jeff will have his political coffee from 6 to 7. From 7 to 9 will be Brian Kilmeade live. This will be really fun to have him live from 7 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, I'm moving from 9 to 10 every morning. And then from 10 to noon is Charlie Kirk. Now, this is fun. Now, Charlie Kirk, you might have seen him on Fox News. He's kind of this up-and-coming talk radio. He's done some podcasting. He has Turning Point USA. They have a great outreach to, I think, primarily college students on college campuses, really challenging the message of, you know, socialism and those kinds of topics. And so I think we'll be real intrigued in listening to Charlie Kirk every day. And of course, we have noon to 3, we have Sean Hannity, and from 3 to 6, we have Mark Levin. So that all takes place on Monday. Now, let me tell you why I'm excited about the change at the 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Time for me. I know it's not that getting up, drinking coffee, it's not quite that early morning gig, and I'm an early morning person, so I have no complaints about that. But what I'm excited about the 9 to 10, because I've had guests who said, that's too early, I'm not a morning person. If it was later, I would come in. Not only will we be able to get some guests who maybe will come in and talk to me at 9 a.m. in the morning, but here's what I want to do. I want to get out into the business community. I want to come to your place of business. I can broadcast anywhere in really anywhere in the world as long as I have internet. But wouldn't that be fun to have a broadcast at your location, your group? If you have something going on or event, I'd love to broadcast there. So I want to throw that out as an opportunity. If that's something you're interested in, or you know a group that would like to host me, and we could broadcast and have guests right there, I think that'd be a fun experience. So we have broader options now from the 9 to 10 a.m. hour. If you're interested in that, or you know somebody who might be interested, send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. Taking a look at our community calendar, there's a lot of things starting to pop up because guess what? Well, we can start eating indoors for one, so we can have some meetings, and also people are starting to have conferences and trainings and all that fun stuff. Plus, we have an election around the corner, which we're going to talk a little bit more about here in a minute. But right now, we're currently in 40 Days for Life, and so there's a group that have asked to be on the community calendar to talk about that. There's a 40 Days for Life going on. If you want to get involved, 40daysforlife.com/Salem. There's also a citizenship class going on and how we can be good citizens participating in government and learning what our responsibility is with that. It's by the Patriot Academy. Even though there's been a few sessions already, you certainly can join if it works for you this Sunday at People's Church, 11:30 a.m. And then tonight at 7 p.m. is the Business Freedom Fellowship that's launching. That's going to be at the River Church. If you want more information about that, I can get you a link, Stacey at KSLM.news. Our show is brought to you today by Bill Sunderland Country Financial Sunderland Agency. If you have any insurance needs, be sure to get a hold of Bill, SunderlandAgency.com. Give him a call, 503-885-0789. I want to say thank you to those of you that gave me some feedback about the show yesterday and our counterculture mom. Wow, rich in content and the podcast. I'm going to put it up on our Facebook page because I got really good feedback. And almost like her and I were talking so very fast, it was hard to get a lot of those details down. But some of you that are grandmas and parents, and you want to get that information on to your children in other parts of the country too, you can certainly share that podcast. And on the podcast on our website, KSLM.news, I've listed her bio and the links to where you can download the app and all of those things. And so I hope to have Tina on again real soon, and maybe have her as a regular guest to give us updates on what to be aware of and what's going on in our culture. Well, we have an election coming around the corner, believe it or not. Another election. Seems like we're not quite recovered from the last, but we have a local election that's so extremely important. We have our school board, and at one point when we had Suzanne Gallagher on the show with Parents' Rights in Education, she had said there was 450 openings all across Oregon for our school boards. When we talk about getting involved, getting engaged, and really standing strong for our families and for our values, one of the ways that we need to do that is right locally in our school board. And we had the superintendent, or not the superintendent, we had the chair, or the president, however they call it, of the school board here in Salem-Keizer a couple weeks ago, again, reiterating how important it is that we have people engaged in the process. Well, about 6 weeks ago, I went to a training up in the Portland area, Western Liberty Network, and they train on how to run for offices. It's nonpartisan, and they train you and they equip you. And at that meeting, I met this beautiful woman, and I was so proud of her because at the meeting, she announced that she is going to run for school board. Her name is Jeanette Shada. Did I say that right?
You did.
Welcome to the morning show this morning. And I have to say, I'm so extremely proud of you for taking that stand and saying, yep, I'll do it. I will run for the school board. Talk to us a little bit about why you said you'd run, and where, what school board are you running for?
Yes, thank you very much, Stacey, for inviting me on your show. I am running for Beaverton School Board Zone 1, and I chose to run because I've been in education for 23 years, and I moved to the Portland area in October 2019. And saw what was going on. I put my son in the Beaverton School District when we first moved here, and the high school that I put him in, they were servicing him well. He has a 504, and he has some mental health issues as well, and they were servicing him quite well. It was a stressful time because we moved here from Texas, mm-hmm. and then the house we were renting fell through, so we had to quickly purchase a home. And the high school that my son ended up in was not as good, was not servicing him appropriately, which made it more stressful with everything that he had going on. And then I started diving a little bit more into things and just said, this needs to change. And so at the time, I thought I was in zone six, which the election is in 2023 for that particular zone. Mm-hmm. And for Beaverton, you have to live in the zone that you're going to be elected in, but you get elected at large, meaning everybody in the district votes for every person in every zone. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking with several people, and they were really encouraged me to run. And I started scrutinizing the maps more and found out I was about three or four streets over into zone one, which is this May. So I went from having 2 years to prepare and get to know the area quite well to having 4 months. And I prayerfully considered it, and this is the direction that I need to go.
That's outstanding. When you talk about a background in education, give us a little more detail.
Yeah, so I have 23 years in education. Immediately out of high school, I started to be a teacher's aide to foster youth kids who, and if anybody understands foster youth, they go from home to home, mm-hmm. and their lives are disrupted quite a bit, and which disrupts their education. Mm-hmm. And so I was helping kids in elementary school with their reading, writing, and math skills. And I really got hooked by a girl named Amanda, who never went to school before. She was in sixth grade, very abusive situation growing up. Mm. And she went from not knowing how to read and write and doing math to a third grade level in math within 1 year's time frame.
Wow.
To reading at about a fourth grade level. And it was a lot of work and dedication and focus for her. And if I didn't have the training in that I had, then who knows what would have happened to her. She would have been lost.
Yeah, I that is critical. That program and programs of support like that within the school district, I think, are really critical. I haven't been a foster adopt mom myself. My daughter, Bree, I got her when she was in kindergarten, and she did not know how to read, but she knew all the beer signs, right? And because of the influence of her mother in her life at that time, the reasons why we got her in our home. The other thing is because she was a foster youth herself, her second grade teacher, I'll never forget this, her second grade teacher I knew outside of the classroom, who herself was a foster adopted woman who was married and had a family. And Bree would try to play that victim card, like, you know, I'm not like all these other kids because I don't, you know, they tried to play that a little bit and use it to manipulate already in second grade. And her teacher says, girl, I got you. And I'm reading you and I know you, and give her that extra attention that she needed in a positive way, not when she was acting out negatively. It was not a negative reinforcement. And so that sounds like a wonderful baseline. You really got to see how effective you can be in education, didn't you?
Yeah, and she was a spitfire. She had a lot of manipulative tactics, mm-hmm. at the age of 12 and 6th grade.
Isn't that crazy?
But
called survival.
It is. It's very much survival with the trauma that she went through. And but I was able to build trust with her, and she just thrived.
I love it.
From there. It was phenomenal.
When we come back from this break, I want to ask you specifically about Beaverton issues, because I think we have some of them here in Marion County, too. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Friends, we need people to run for the school board. Is that you? You still have time. March 18th is the deadline. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Friday. What do you have planned this weekend? I think I'm going to take a little tour on over to the coast this weekend. I've got my friend Rebecca. Her and I are talking about spending the day, maybe hitting, now that things are starting to open up, and that's something I've missed this last year with the COVID lockdown. I've missed going and looking at all the fun little shops and the secondhand stores and the antique shops. And I have to be honest, I love doing that kind of stuff. And Terry kind of likes doing it, but not like having a girlfriend who enjoys going and spending some time. So I'm looking forward to that. And it looks like the weather is going to cooperate for the next couple days. So that's what I'm going to do this weekend. And whatever you're doing, I just want to thank you all for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Of course, we have some outstanding morning shows throughout the weekend, too. Don't forget Terry Soul, 10 a.m., and then again, 6 p.m. on Sunday. So that's something you can look forward to. He always has such good content, and I believe this week it's Kicking Cancer with Baron Robinson and a great testimony on Terry Soul Show this week. So with that, I want to continue the conversation. You know, we've been talking about all along here in my show how important it is that we be a part of the solution, right? It's easy to curse at the darkness and say, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and we're going to stand strong and object to it. But we can be a part of the solution, and that is we can run for local office. You can run for school board, city council, commission, all the way up to our representatives and senators, all the way up to the state house in the U.S., right? Senate and representative. There's ways. You can even be a dog catcher. I guess you can be elected dog catcher, water board, all of that. There's a place for all of us to get engaged in the process. If you don't want to do that, if you don't want to, get behind candidates who are willing to do so. And I know when I met Jeanette at Western Liberty Network, I know how important it is to get one of those first few early donations, right? And yes, and get that support. And I'm curious, as you have a beautiful website. What is your website? Let's tell our listeners about your website.
Yeah, it's Back to Basics. It's bringbackbasics.com. It'd be nice if I knew my own website. And that is my slogan, Bring Back Basics, Kids Over Politics, because we need to bring reading, writing, arithmetic, art, music, and career and technical education courses, or CTE courses, back to our schools and get the political and social agenda out of our schools. Mm-hmm. That is not the place for it. That's for the homes and private conversations or in a political event or whatever. But in the schools, we need to be teaching our students. Oregon is in the bottom half of the United States. I've seen it as low as fifth, but recently when I looked, we're 36th, 37th in the nation for schools, and that is not good for our students. When I lived in Lapine many years ago in Central Oregon and had my kids in the Ben Lapine School District, and then we moved to California, and what a difference. So my daughter was in fourth grade, my eldest, and she was just barely learning multiplication. And this is probably about 11, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when we moved to California in the fourth grade there, it was, they're not only past learning the basics of multiplication, but they were multiplying and dividing fractions and decimals. And so I had to help my daughter get caught up. And that is not fair for students. We know we live in a world where people are mobile. And so with the mobility, every state runs their education a little bit differently, but they're all pretty similar. Mm-hmm. I've taught in Oregon, California, and Texas. And but I do see a difference in the educational system between those three states. And Oregon, we have to get Oregon back up. And in order to do that, we need to get rid of the political and social agenda that has just infiltrated our schools like a cancer.
Well, and the difficulty is, and we talked about this, we had an online academy on earlier in the week. We talked about, you know, technical education and learning online and address some of the social emotional needs. And that's a big, that is a big trendy thing right now, social, there's like a little word about it. And there is some reality that if the kids don't have their basic needs met, it's hard for them to have an environment to learn. And so we've got to be aware of that. But making our schools social justice centers, our schools centers of you know, meeting their needs beyond education, I think it's out of balance. I think there needs to be, yes, you need to have teachers that are watching their students and being tuned in. But I also think that, when they're not making the grade as far as the right reading, writing, arithmetic, the basic things humans need, this is troubling. And our graduation rate is not good here in Oregon. I'm learning this as I'm doing the research and studying. And I know this to be true in my own life, because my brother fell through the cracks, and right before graduation, like a week or two, found out he was a credit short of a public high school here in Salem. And that sent him in a tailspin. It took him many years before he could finish school. And he did, because he had boys and he wanted to be a good leader for his young boys to say, I finished high school, you know, even though it was a credit short. But that can really set people back.
It can. And it's interesting that you say that about your brother, because one of the things that I did in Texas, I volunteer a lot of my time. Mm-hmm. I am very passionate about education and people getting educated and having the skills they need to be good, viable citizens, contributing citizens, mm-hmm. In their communities. And so I volunteered a lot of my time working with adults who dropped out of high mm-hmm. school, and to help them get their GED. And it was very rewarding. And almost every single person I came across that stuck with the program that I was volunteering my time in ended up getting their GED, and they all regretted dropping out of high school. Mm-hmm. You know, in schools, well, with children, I have a unique perspective, because I started out in elementary education, mm-hmm. and then I ended up in high school, teaching high schoolers English. And I taught English as a second language students, and I've also taught very rough and tumble kids mm-hmm. in alternative schools who, if they weren't given a chance by their families or their parents, that when they came into my classroom, they saw that I believed in them. And just like with Amanda earlier, when I was talking mm-hmm. about her, it takes time to build trust and build that relationship. But if we bring in the social and political aspects, that can actually be very divisive and tearing down.
And not building blocks into their future and their education. We're continuing the conversation, friends, talking about the school board election coming up. Jeanette Shada. Check her out at buildbackbasics.com. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. So glad to be hanging out with you. Don't forget this Sunday, changing our clocks. Yes, indeed, it's that time of year. And I drove by the Capitol yesterday, and I was hoping to see some cherry blossoms right there. You know, that's always such an epic shot, you know, when they're all in bloom. And I think they're real close. If I didn't miss them, I don't think I missed them. It's such a beautiful couple of days when you see that. And certainly as I'm going around town, I'm finding daffodils and cherry blossoms. And Monday, Terry will be back. I pick him up from the airport. He's back in Arkansas checking on our rental property there and family. And he said the Redbirds, the Cardinals out there, are just full of life. And it kind of makes me a little homesick for Arkansas, to be honest with you. But this morning, early morning, there were the squirrels and the birdies out my front window, and I was very happy about that as well. So be sure to take some time this weekend to look at nature, look and take a drive, take a walk, get out and enjoy the sunshine, because it's going to be a beautiful weekend. We're continuing the conversation this morning, talking about the school boards and how very important it is to get engaged in the process. And I'm so glad that we had someone call, and I'm going to take this call. I believe it's our friend Rebecca. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I hope this is a good connection. I'm interested in asking what was your name again, the person who's running for school board?
Jeanette Shada.
Thank you so much for running for school board.
You're welcome.
I just I heard a few weeks ago that Oregon has said that using numbers in mathematics is racist.
Yes, that is true. The Oregon Department of Education has come out saying that teaching mathematics and having students show their work in math is racist, which is absolutely ludicrous because I did teach math for a semester in the middle school, in Lapine Middle School, as I was student teaching. And as a teacher who taught math, it is very important and critical for students to show their work. Because if they get to the wrong answer, then I want to see their thought process. I want to see where a mistake was made. And I believe this goes for any math teacher out there to figure out where the mistake was made so that we can reteach where need be, either a one-on-one or in small group or as a whole class, if we see that the class is making the same mistake in that same spot. And the cancel culture and teaching a critical race theory in our schools is getting so ridiculous that students are starting to feel uncomfortable. Teachers that I've talked with are feeling uncomfortable with what's going on. And the fact that ODE is pushing this, and if you also don't know, there is a bill currently in the legislature, and please give public comment on this. I believe it's SB 683, I believe that number is correct, that is going to be pushing the 1619 Project into our schools as the history to be taught in Oregon. And the 1619 Project is a big critical race theory history that has been debunked by the New York Times itself. And they're also saying that the pioneers on the Oregon Trail were racist and things like that, so they're not going to teach it in schools anymore.
Oh, boy.
So please go to the Oregon Legislature Information System, or OLIS, look up that bill, and put in public comment, because if that makes it into our schools and the legislature pushes that through, all schools in the state of Oregon will have to teach that because it will be law. And the school board, as a local governing board, has to put that in there. And so then we would have to look at curriculum and what curriculum we adopt. And we do not want the 1619 Project in there. It is filled with falsehoods about our history in the United States. What we need to get back to is teaching of the Constitution in the United States, and teaching about the Founding Fathers, and teaching about what makes America great. And we are a nation that is very diverse. People are welcome here from everywhere around the world. And we need to work together and build unity. And critical race theory is turning back the clock on the civil rights movement. And that is not okay with me. We need to go back to the teachings of Martin Luther King Jr., of Nelson Mandela, of other prominent civil rights leaders who were championing unification and diversity and tolerance of each other. We all have unique differences and talents, but we need to come together and embrace those unique talents. My talents and my skills are different than somebody else's talents and skills. But you know what? If we come together and we work together, we can unify those talents and skills and create something great. And one of the problems is people don't interact, especially here in Oregon. When I lived in California and Texas, I lived in very diverse communities. And here in Oregon, it's not as diverse as other areas I've lived. There is diversity here, and we need to embrace it. We need to come together and work together, because if we stay apart from one another and we stay in our clusters, then we don't learn from each other very well. And then we get things like the showing of your math work is racist when it's not.
Well, there's something to be said about our math work. And at the time, it doesn't feel, it's not a lot of fun. Math is not my favorite. I tell people I went into social science, not hard science for my degree. But there is something, a process that you teach children about how everything builds upon something else and how to think critically and all of those skills that are so important in the development of our kids. kids, and doing math is so instrumental in all of that. I appreciate you on the line, Rebecca. Thank you for calling in. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the question. I appreciate it.
And you know, when I hear you talk and I'm watching you, and I saw this in you at the Liberty Council when we did the network training, is that you have a rich background. You have a passion for what you're doing, and you really can be effective. It looks like a natural transition to school board. Talk to us a little bit about some of the things you want to accomplish when you get to the school board.
Yeah, so the school board, the way it works, is the governing body of the school district, and school boards can make or break policy. School boards are also the boss of the superintendent. In recent times, it has seemed to flip to where the superintendents think that they are the governing body, and they're not. Mm-hmm. It is the school board, because we are the elected people to represent the taxpayers, the parents, the students, and so the superintendent has his or her role. School board has theirs.
Mm-hmm.
The school board can hire or fire superintendents, and the school board also goes out and works with the community to figure out what would be good for our children in schools. We are the champions for the kids in schools, and that fits with me naturally. I've always been a champion of students, especially students who don't always get a good chance. Most of my career has been working in Title I schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my biggest priorities is, number one, let's get kids back in schools 5 full days a week with mm-hmm. safety measures in place. And the CDC is re-looking at the 6-foot rule, and I really hope they come out and do the 3-foot rule.
Mm-hmm.
If we could get the 3-foot rule in there, then every child will be able to go back to school.
Oh, fantastic.
And we can get the doors open. Beaverton is currently in negotiations with the Beaverton Education Association, which is the local union, plus the OEA, which is the Oregon Education Association, I believe, which is the state union.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it is the unions, teachers' unions, I need to be clear, that it's teachers' unions who are keeping these schools closed through not bargaining well.
Oh, boy.
And with Governor Brown putting teachers ahead of even our seniors, mm-hmm. that's the most vulnerable population for the coronavirus, that between the vaccinations and between people getting COVID themselves, we're reaching the herd immunity level.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can safely put kids back in. They are not super spreaders.
You're right. And that's the part that we know now that we didn't know a year ago when they changed everything with school. It was about spring break last year, and they're like, well, we're just going to have a longer spring break, you know, flatten the curve 2 weeks or whatever. We were really concerned that the kids were the spreaders of this, and that wasn't that we now know that's not what's happening. And so there's a lot of people that are wanting kids back in school. They're wanting their kids to have that rich education experience, not just the, you know, learning online at home. They want them to interact and play sports and things. And something happened. There was a gentleman who called in earlier this week. It said that his son was playing football at the high school. That his son, they were playing, but parents weren't allowed to attend sports.
Yeah.
Is that a statewide thing that they're not allowed to attend their child's sports? To me, that is outrageous.
Yes.
If this was my kid, for a couple reasons. One, it's my kid, and I'm going to support him. And two, the kids need that encouragement.
Yes.
And that reassurance from
yep.
their parents. What's up with that?
So due to the guidelines that are put forth, the OHA and ODE are, in my opinion, not following the science closely.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, when you are outside watching sports, COVID is proven not to spread in outside events.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly inside close quarter events.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's absolutely ridiculous not to allow parents to be spectators at their children's sports. When my daughter was doing cross country and track and field, I was there at every single mm-hmm. event, watching her, cheering her on. And it really helps students. It helps their mental state. It helps them build their stamina to complete whatever the task is that they need to complete. And I just can't imagine them running or playing basketball or football to an empty field or stadium. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we need to have parents out there cheering their kids on. There's no reason with the guidelines from the CDC that we cannot have parents there, especially, again, with people being vaccinated. We're reaching herd immunity just from people getting COVID. With being outside, we could definitely distance.
And the weather's warming up. We're going to have more natural vitamin D and all of those things. I that really upset me. A lot of things that kind of stirred my pot lately with this whole COVID-19 thing. But it's time to open Oregon. It's time to get the kids back to school. It's time to get back to normal, whatever that is. It's just a setting on the dryer, I'm learning. We're going to continue the conversation after we get back. You're welcome to call in 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a
brand good morning to you
day.
Together on this Friday. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Oh, yes, TGIF. Thanking God it's Friday. Woohoo, the weekend. Pretty exciting about that. I want to say to those of you that have a birthday today, happy birthday. No one popped up on my Facebook or anything like that as far as a birthday today, but if it's your birthday today, happy birthday. And if you have a family member that has a birthday coming up and you want me to give them a little shout out, I'd be willing to do that. Send it to me in my email, stacy@kslm.news. Here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use, I want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley, for being morning show sponsors. They're ready to serve you. They'll go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. If you're thinking about upgrading, buying for the first time, maybe selling and doing something different. I know a family, just met a family last week. They bought an RV. Yep, they're living out in them and their dog and their son. They're living in an RV and it makes them mobile. They're still here in Oregon, but they may want to go to Arizona or South Dakota or wherever, you know. And so they sold their home. Now, another friend of mine sold their home and they're moving to South Dakota. That's pretty exciting too. And so it's interesting times. So you may need that realtor to help you and get a hold of Dave and Paige. 503-939-7099. We're going to open up the phone lines. We are talking about running for school board and how important it is that we run. And I'm so excited that Jeanette is running and saying yes, because it's not a real glamorous position, Jeanette. It certainly is a volunteer position. Yes. It's nothing that you get reimbursed for your time, but it is a passionate opportunity to make a difference and stand strong for the values that we hold. And I'm going to open up the phone lines. Good morning. I believe I have Gail on the line. How are you today?
Good morning, Stacey. You do have Gail on the line.
Hi.
I'm back and forth with my goat, so I'm not totally in tune to everything. Two things. I did run for school board in 2013 when I was younger, and I have to say I just basically ran on the fact that Planned Parenthood was threatening our kids. So, and at that time, I hardly had to put any money into it, and I got 48% of the vote, which was totally amazing. So my encouragement to her.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. From 2013 to now, things have definitely changed, and donations are greatly appreciated, because with Beaverton School District being the third largest school district, and I am running against an incumbent, is something that is needed. Unfortunately, I can't run on nothing.
I did want to say something more. Mm-hmm. You know, it really burdens my heart terribly when I hear people speak of the vaccinations and herd immunity. We do not need that evil experimental vaccination to reach herd immunity. If you do the research, the herd immunity has already been reached, and what is happening now with the vaccine is people are dying and they're counting it as COVID, and then more fear, more vaccine. And I just heard something from Robert Kennedy. He was on a talk with somebody in Germany, a lawyer in Germany, and this is happening worldwide in our nursing home, where they're giving this vaccination to our elderly, and they're dropping right and left. Mm-hmm. But our media is not telling us this.
Well, here's something that Josh had found out. We talked about it this week, Gail, is that if you've been vaccinated, they won't let you in China. Isn't that interesting? There's something there. I don't know. It makes me suspect.
Yeah.
And not that we're all going to rush over and go to China, but they're like, okay, the virus came from China, and yet if you get vaccinated, you can't go back in. This is interesting. I think the point that Jeanette has made about talking about herd immunity, whether we have the vaccination or not, this is happening naturally, and I think we're not talking enough about it. We don't need the vaccination. And you do bring up a good point. Thank you for calling this morning, and you have a wonderful weekend, by the way. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
She brings up a good point, and I think a lot of parents are concerned that that coming down the pike, potentially, again, is a force. Your kids have to be vaccinated to go to public schools. What is your position on that?
Yeah, so there is a bill, again, in the legislature. I've lost track of where it's at, but it is pushing to have kids vaccinated 100%, and that if your child is not vaccinated, they cannot attend public schools, which is absolutely ridiculous because that is discriminatory in and of itself. There are many reasons why kids don't get vaccinated, and it does not have to do with anti-vaxxers. And I am not an anti-vaxxer, but I do believe in being educated on what vaccines your child does get, and you have to look at your child's medical history. Do they have allergies? Is it going to be beneficial to your child? And I've vaccinated my children with quite a few of the vaccines. There are a couple because of the research I did that I chose not to vaccinate them on. They are all either teenage or thriving adults right now. And that is left in the parents' lap. It should
that's
not
exactly
be left in the government.
That's what I was going to say, the parental rights in education.
Yes.
And there's going to be a conference coming up in April up in the Portland area on the 23rd and 24th of April, Parents' Rights in Education. And you want to put that on your calendar, friends, because it's going to be a really good event. And that's exactly right. Our Oregon Constitution, which I printed out, and it's thick. I want to say it's about 3 inches thick. The Oregon Constitution,
yes,
on top of the U.S. Constitution, it guarantees our rights, our parental rights, our religious rights, you know, all of those kinds of things. And they would be, by pushing these bills and things, it's just a frontal assault to even our state constitution as well as our U.S. Constitution. And so these are things that are really important, that you are standing strong. You believe in our Oregon Constitution. You believe in our U.S. Constitution. You believe that kids should have access to what I hear you saying, to a good education, that parents can be involved, all of those kinds of things. Give us your website again.
Yes, it is buildbackbasics.com. And again, that Build Back Basics goes back to getting political and social ideology out of schools. And let's get back to the good old educating our child the way it was supposed to be, with the parents at the helm of that education. Government schools or public schools were supposed to be supportive to parents and not the ones governing what happens in your home. And if you are as concerned as I am about your child's education, your grandchild's education, I have a grandchild myself, then get involved and start lobbying your legislatures and telling them, no, we don't want this. There are quite a few bills going through the legislature right now that will restrict your rights as parents in the educational field. And government is meant to be limited.
Right.
And unfortunately, it is a runaway freight train right now, especially here in Oregon. There's over 4,000 bills.
Incredible.
Being put forward, and that is not okay.
And I don't like the fact that they're trying to take control from the local school boards and do it at a state level.
Yes.
We don't want that. We want local control. We want individuals like yourself that are serving. Thank you for saying yes. Again, what's your website as we wrap up here?
BuildBackBasics.com.
All right. Well, Beaverton is blessed to have you as a candidate, and however we can be supportive, we will. Friends, go to our website, show your support, donate, volunteer. We want you to run for school board, friends. If you are interested, you can give me a call. You can give Jeanette a call. We'd love to assist you in that application. Have a fantastic weekend. Remember to move your clocks ahead on Sunday. Have a wonderful weekend. And remember, God bless you, my friend, and God bless the USA.
Thank you, Stacey.